Welcome to the Birthful Podcast. I'm Adriana Lozada, and today we're talking about better sleep during pregnancy. Between body aches, a mind that won't quiet down, heartburn, and the never-ending trips to the bathroom, getting a good night's sleep while pregnant can seem like an impossible goal. So, what can you do to make it better, and will doing these things improve your family's sleep after the baby arrives? Mar DiCarlo has answers. Stay tuned. This episode of Birthful is brought to you by Vistaprint, helping you own the now in any situation. To get free shipping on all your business cards, any style, any quantity, go to vistaprint.com and enter the promo code Birthful. It's a limited time offer. This episode of Birthful is also brought to you by Simply Breastfeeding, a prenatal breastfeeding course to help nursing parents feel confident with their newborns. Learn more at birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding and use the code Birthful for 15% off. The Birthful Podcast, talking to maternity pros and new parents to inform your intuition. Hello, mighty parents and parents-to-be. Thank you, as always, for all the love you give the show and for telling your pregnant friends about it. If what you hear is helpful, then make sure you subscribe. It is free, and that way you won't miss a thing. You can support this podcast by supporting its sponsors, which in this week's case are Vistaprint and Simply Breastfeeding. And you can also become an official Birthful supporter by joining us at patreon.com/birthful. As a thank you, patrons get access to extra content for each episode as well as access to ad-free episodes. Now, here's a quick reminder that my free talk at the Gold Online Perinatal Conference is coming up on October 28th. I will be speaking at two different times that day about setting a fresh course towards physiological birth, which is frankly a jam-packed talk about why it's imperative to support physiology during birth and how you can do that. I also talk about how the commonly used birth model actually hinders your physiology. Now, the way this works is you cannot watch it unless you pre-register. So to do that, go to goldperinatal.com and then click the conference tab, then the speaker tab, then closing keynote, and you can register. The page will load where you can register for my talk. And frankly, if it works for you, you should go ahead and sign up for the whole conference, because even though it has already started, you'll have access to the 14 different presentations until December 2nd. And because it's online, you can do it from anywhere in the world. So go register at goldperinatal.com. All right. So the days are getting shorter and shorter in the Northern Hemisphere, and daylight saving is ending soon, and we're all going to have to change our clocks and, you know, agree that, oh, suddenly it's an hour earlier because we're going to fall back. With all that coming up, I figured now was a perfect time to renew my talk with the multi-talented Mar DiCarlo about how to get better sleep during pregnancy. And now when I first spoke to her, and then I've done two episodes with her, this one that I'm renewing and a previous one. And at that time, she had a different name. She was Mar Oscategui. So now she's Mar DiCarlo. You'll hear throughout the show that her older last name, Oscategui, comes up, even when she shares her website, which used to be maroscategui.com and now is mardicarlo.com. But frankly, it doesn't matter, because if you go to maroscategui.com, it takes you to the new website anyway. So it all works out in the end. I've updated the show notes with the new information, and you can check that out if you're so inclined. But for now, let's talk about pregnancy sleep. Let's do this. Mar, it is so wonderful to have you back here on the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. And so for listeners who are not familiar with you, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your relation to sleep?
Sure. Well, just a little bit about my background. I am a holistic health, lifestyle, and business coach. I began my work about 23 years ago, where I began working with individuals and groups through group exercise, personal training, yoga, Pilates, and then got into the whole birth and parenting field upon becoming a parent myself. Studying health and fitness for many years, I have worked with many clients, all different ages, and not only is fitness about exercise, but a lot of what we talk about in fitness is nutrition and also sleep. And I've been noticing a lot of sleep deprivation happening with a lot of my clients throughout their throughout their life that I have kept up with, but in particularly when I got more into the birth and parenting field during pregnancy. And so when I started getting deeper into my work and then also developing programs and courses, as you know, for my institute, the International Maternity and Parenting Institute, one of the most interesting things that I had discovered was that the support systems and the services that were prominent for sleep throughout this stage were particularly starting when children were around 4 to 6 months. And so that brought me to question why we don't have sleep support and services beginning during pregnancy. And that's how I really began then my mission, and that all unfolded from there.
Yeah, and it is such a an aha moment that you had. I mean, it is clearly something that moms struggle with and newborns struggle with. I mean, it's not like, oh, you hit 4 or 6 months and suddenly there's this wealth of information of what to do with your kid. Like, there's plenty that happens leading up to that moment. And I think it's great that we're going to be talking about it today from the point of view of mom and her sleep needs during pregnancy, and how maybe those sleep disturbances and issues start to creep up more during those 9 months.
Yes, absolutely. There's no question.
Cool. So let's get right to it. What makes sleeping during pregnancy so difficult? Why is this so hard?
Well, naturally, a woman's body is undergoing a lot of physiological and biochemical changes. She's experiencing, hormone changes, which are going to affect then not just her physiology, but also emotionally. Her body, from the time that she's conceiving up until, you know, she's giving birth, is just constantly going through these changes. And also living in a culture and a society globally, because I don't think this is just in the United States. As you know, I work globally. And interestingly enough, with today's culture and modern day culture, and those that are, you know, working in the modern day culture, the 9-to-5 jobs, the smartphones, the iPads, the computers, the televisions, there's so much overstimulation and so much overexposure to light. And we're turned on and overstimulated quite often that the body's ability to recuperate from that, to settle and to transition into a state of rest, becomes that much more challenging. So I feel between the physiological and biochemical changes that a pregnant woman is already undergoing, on top of that, we have a cultural issue happening that is adding to that, not making it any easier. There's maybe worries and fears that come up and all sorts of different things.
Right. And our bodies, as human beings, we're constantly in cyclical production of hormones, cyclical production of, you know, of systems, of digestive systems and respiratory systems. And it's all a cycle. And so is our need for sleep. And it makes sense. I totally agree that with the disturbances that we're seeing in terms of affecting our circadian rhythms and our circadian clock, our biological clocks, in terms of our exposure to light and changes in our sleep, that we're not giving our bodies the chance to tone into those signals and properly repair. So it's kind of like it's a messy signal what we're giving our bodies.
Exactly. And, you know, it's so interesting because, you know, I often hear, oh, you know, especially from some consultants who ask about pregnancy sleep, oh, is there really a need for that kind of support? And when I look into that and understand where they're coming from with that thought process, I think a lot of it also is because if you look at our child, not all, because I'm not sure, maybe some are infusing this, but if you look at our childbirth education and even all the programming that is available during pregnancy, pregnancy sleep is not often talked about, surprisingly enough. And just like you said, the body's ability to repair and restore is essential. It is no different than brushing one's teeth, than our hygiene, than, you know, all the things that we do to take care of giving ourselves proper nutrition. Sleep is just as high of a priority. And if we're not aware of that, and if we're compromising that in any way, then that definitely is going to catch up with us, especially during this time when, you know, so many additional changes are happening.
Yeah. So, because usually when we think about pregnancy sleep, we tend to focus, and I think I want to do this too, like start out with what is exclusively brought upon from pregnancy, right? So you have like more aches and pains, and having to pee means you have to wake up more during the night. And like, what are some ways to help with those sort of physical symptoms of pregnancy to get a better night's sleep?
Thank you. It's a really great question. So yeah, just like you mentioned, common nausea, bladder pressure, especially as you're going further into the trimesters. Fatigue is very common also. Restless leg syndrome might happen, insomnia and sleep apnea, and so on. Some of the best ways to support preventing or reducing your chances of any of these, not only from occurring, but even from maybe minimally experiencing them, is to, number one, take what I call daily pauses throughout the day. Give your body the opportunity not just to experience what it's like to rest and recuperate at night, but to be able throughout the day to train and teach your body to come to a state of rest, even if it's for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, to work on breathing, to allow your body to feel what it's like to settle, just to stop moving altogether. Is a huge thing to introduce to the body during pregnancy. Nutrition is huge as well, because most often people are not aware that there are anti and pro sleep foods. There are foods that will support and enhance sleep, and foods that will actually prevent one from sleeping. And these are not just, you know, typically we hear, oh, you know, be careful of consuming raw foods or alcohol or caffeine, things like that. But there's actually, you know, let's say nightshade vegetables, for example, that can interfere with sleep, and lots of other foods that one would never think of that might affect sleep, that also will affect the, ability to wake up at night. And in terms of going to the bathroom at night, you might hear the suggestion or advice, you know, make sure not to drink before bed. You'll have to get up at night. That definitely has some definitely truth to it. But what I would say is, if the body is well hydrated throughout the day, then usually the need at night to hydrate more doesn't happen. Because what happens a lot of times, which is another issue, is that we get easily dehydrated without even knowing it. And especially pregnant and postpartum women are dehydrated quite often. And if we hydrate our bodies throughout the day, and are very conscious of it, that will allow for not the need at nighttime to then have to make up for that. In the same way that in the daytime, we're going to take daily pauses, 5 or 10 minutes. I think I've mentioned in one of your other podcasts this really great tool that I love called the Calm App that I suggest quite often for a lot of my clients. And you can use it on your smartphone. At night, if you happen to wake up in the middle of the night, you can put it on airplane mode so you're not hit with the Wi-Fi. And you have an ability to choose different settings, you know, from a minute to 5 minutes, and it will guide you through an exercise where you can just experience a sense of relaxation and calm. It's really wonderful.
Oh, it is. I love any of the apps that help you get into the habit of meditation and mindfulness every single day, because it doesn't take much. You can do 3 minutes, 1 minute. It's just about doing it on a regular basis. Why don't we take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more. Creating business cards can feel daunting, but with Vistaprint, it does not have to be. On the contrary, I have personally created and reordered cards with Vistaprint through the years, and I really appreciate how easy and affordable it is to get cards that allow you to make a great professional first impression. Because having a business card ready to hand out is quite often the first step to making something happen. No matter where you are, say hanging out with other new parents at the playground or leaving the hospital after providing doula support, your next big opportunity could be coming right now. And Vistaprint is there to help you own the now with free shipping on any business card in any quantity. Really, choose whatever style, finish, shape, or paper you like and get free shipping. And because you can pick the colors, fonts, designs, and images, it means that you can create something as unique and compelling as your business. The process is super easy. First, you plug in your information and logo into any of the hundreds of fresh designs available at Vistaprint, tailored to your type of company, or you can also upload your own original layout. Then you pick the paper stock, style, and quantity that is right for you, and you can even upgrade to a unique touch like rounded corners. Then you order and receive your carts with free economy shipping when you use the code BIRTHFUL. You can feel good knowing that Vistaprint uses only carefully selected inks and responsibly sourced paper stocks. And your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed or your money back. They will make it right. Vistaprint wants you to be able to own the now in any situation, which is why Birthful listeners will get free shipping on all business cards, any style, any quantity. Just go to Vistaprint.com and enter the promo code BIRTHFUL for free shipping on all business cards, any style, any quantity. This is a limited time offer. Own the now at Vistaprint.com with promo code BIRTHFUL, and also you support the show when you support our sponsors. We are back with Mark talking about different ways that you can improve your pregnancy, your sleep during pregnancy. And we'd mentioned, we'd mentioned taking daily pauses during the day, focusing on good nutrition, not eating foods that can keep you up, staying well hydrated. What else, what other things are important to take into account during this time?
Yes. This is also a really great time because besides some of these physiological things happening, like having to go to the bathroom at night and, you know, waking up, let's say, from even physical discomforts, pregnancy is a time where a lot of emotions come up for a variety of reasons. Some of the emotions can be due to the hormonal fluctuations and changes, but some of it can actually be brought up. And there's a lot of birth psychology that goes into this. And a wonderful organization known as APA, the Association of Pre- and Perinatal Psychology and Health. Lots of studies go into the fact that during pregnancy, it's not uncommon for women to start to experience or recall or be conscious of their own birth experience and journey, and a lot of those fears arising. And as a result, even more importantly so, along with the physiological and biochemical changes happening, it's a great time to pay attention to the emotional work, any unresolved issues, any fears. It's a great time to address those during this time as well.
Yeah, and you can, a lot of moms that are pregnant, the women that are pregnant, do clearly tell you about like these crazy dreams that they start having when they're pregnant, right? Of that extra, yes. Of the extra activity that their brain is going through and being more, I don't know if it's so much extra activity, but them being more aware and in tune and recalling all of those dreams that they're having.
Absolutely. And that's why two naps are essential throughout the day. Also, so not everyone, I understand when I work with clients, say, naps, I don't have time to take a nap because they've got their work and different things. And that's where then I, you know, like to be practical and realistic. I put in those daily pauses for them. And like I said, they don't have to be any more than 5 or 10 minutes throughout the day. And maybe every 3 hours you're doing that. And your body then is learning how to come to a state of stillness, how to come to a state of, and I wouldn't say stillness in terms of passive, because when you are putting your focus, let's say, on a breathing exercise or on visualization, you actually are active, but you are in another state. You are in a state that is allowing your body to tap into the restorative state. And so that's going to then provide a lot of benefits. I also do want to say, came through my thought reference in regards to the nighttime waking for going to the bathroom and having to pee, for example. I had mentioned, hydrating throughout the day. But what I would also mention that sometimes people are unaware of is a lot of our foods have, we're unaware they have high sodium. And when we have a lot of sodium, for example, in your food content, that also can lead very easily to dehydration. And so, or bloating. And then you'll feel like, more thirsty. So I would also suggest to just, again, be more aware of and more conscious of not only hydrating throughout the day, but, you know, really looking at what you're putting in your body, and particularly if there's things that are extra salty or spicy or things like that, they're definitely going to affect your body's ability to, you know, retain or have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. And I'm glad you came back to the food and the nutrition part, because I was going to ask you a little bit more about those. Like, can you list a couple more of the foods that are pro sleep and some of them to avoid before going to sleep?
Sure. So just a general rule of thumb, because one thing is that everybody, of course, has, you know, maybe a different health history or a slightly different cultural background or diet. So I don't come from a learning style or approach where everybody has to, you know, come to the one size fits all nutrition approach, same with sleep. So when it comes to understanding, you know, what's appropriate for my body, one of the best things to understand is how our body is affected by what we eat and drink, particularly foods that will swell or inflame, any pro-inflammatory foods. So there are foods that tend to be more pro-inflammatory and tend to disrupt the body's natural systems, and people are more sensitive to them. So for example, gluten, I know there's gluten-free breads, but in general, right, any kind of food with gluten in them. Dairy is known, believe it or not. I know a lot of people who love dairy, but dairy is in so many things. And I'm not saying to avoid it, but just be aware, say, like similar with sodium, to minimize the dairy intake, especially if you're feeling congested, because the dairy will actually exacerbate the congestion and the swelling. So avoiding dairy products, gluten products. The other thing is big meals. So having smaller meals will allow the body's ability to digest a lot easier, because digestion actually takes up a lot of energy. So if you've had actually a very, let's say you've had a salad and you're feeling like, oh, everything I've eaten is very healthy and good for me, but it's a huge salad and there's a lot to break down and digest. If your digestion is working very, very hard, your body's ability to come into a state of rest fully is going to be compromised. So, you know, watching and making sure that, you know, what I say is mindful eating, because what happens a lot of times is we're unaware, but we eat in this day and age very quickly. A lot of us, let's say, consume our meals within 5 to 10 minutes, and it takes about 20 minutes before your brain really gets the signal that, oh, you've ingested food and we're processing that food. And by the time that comes, people are already on their second and third portions, thinking that, oh, I'm hungrier. And in fact, it's just that their body hasn't had time to process, because they've been like not even chewing their food, they're swallowing their food.
Yeah.
So I think the way that we eat, you know, making sure we're taking the time to eat, chew our food, being very mindful, allowing the digestion process to happen, being aware when we actually feel full, hydrating, those are all essential foundations that will be key elements to any, you know, one's nutrition. Things that will disrupt sleep, let's say, are, like I said, nightshade vegetables. So any, if you look up online, nightshade vegetables, usually these are vegetables that are darker in color, like eggplant, potatoes, like the darker, you know, shade ones, things like that. Spicy foods, foods that have, like, let's say, ice cream, corn, you know, anything that's going to, you know, like the foods that we absolutely love, you know, pizza, all those kinds of things usually tend to be the biggest disruptor. So I would say, don't deprive yourself or feel like you're avoiding it, because that already is going to actually psychologically, you're going to want more of it. What you would do as a result is just, you know, put it in a time of day where it's going to make sense and where your body's going to have the ability to process. So if you really want to have your pizza, or you really want your ice cream or popcorn, put those, or even your nightshade vegetables, put those in a part of your day that is well ahead of time, like caffeine. You know, some people love having their coffee, but if you have it before, you know, 2 p.m., chances that your sleep's going to be disrupted and you're up late at night is going to, minimize. So you want to be aware of things like that.
Absolutely. And also when you're pregnant, your stomach is so squished that if you gobble up tons of food and don't let your body give you the signal, oh, I'm full, you're kind of extending that a bit too much, and then it's just going to want to come up.
Exactly. Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. And also on that note as well, it's also a good time to understand some people may already be aware that they have food sensitivities or allergies, but it's not uncommon that during or after pregnancy, people may develop them just because of all the different changes happening in their system. Just something to be aware of. And then also, I think this is why it's even a more important time to ensure that the foods that you're buying are the highest quality foods, while an organic fruit or vegetable or even meat might be more expensive. In the long run, it's going to be less expensive because if you're giving yourself high quality foods and avoiding foods that might have potential toxins or, you know, elements to them that might affect your body, you'll be avoiding, you know, having to see the doctor and those medical bills down the road. So I always say, you know, give yourself the best treatment, you know, treat your body. When you're having a baby, it's like you're driving the most expensive car. I mean, that's how I treat all my clients, even if they don't have a baby, but especially when there's a baby in there, it's like you're driving a Lamborghini or a Porsche or whatever you think is, you know, your most luxurious, you know, car or whatever that means to you. But it's very important to understand that this is what you're housing. And the more that you give your body and your baby an opportunity to have the best of everything, that is key, which is why, and this is what I'll also mention, I don't know if you had planned for this, but this actually just came up. I had a question on this recently about the influence that mom's lifestyle and behavior has on her child and whether that affects her child and her child's sleep. And there's a lot of studies that have shown that there is a correlation and a very strong relationship between mom's lifestyle, behavior, her emotional state, and her influence on her child. And so, of course, we want to be empathetic and compassionate, and this is not about being perfect. It's just about being aware of that, and as a result, having the ability to have compassion and to let go and to do the best that we can at all times, and just being conscious of it, I think is an important thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a great point. We are going to take a very quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk about the sleep habits and things you can do to promote better sleep during pregnancy and how that can, you know, carry on and affect what you do during postpartum. We'll be right back. Breastfeeding, it may be natural, but that sure does not mean it's easy. It's a learning process for both you and baby, and like most learning processes, it takes a lot of trial and error. However, this trial and error can sometimes come with a lot of crying, and not necessarily only from your baby. Help lessen the crying and frustration by arming yourself with some solid knowledge. A great way to prepare for this is by taking the Simply Breastfeeding online class created by breastfeeding experts Cindy and Jana. In their class, you'll learn to recognize what your baby is telling you and how to meet your baby's needs starting in the very first hour after birth. You'll also understand the basics of breastfeeding and be able to return to them if you encounter difficulties, and you'll feel confident knowing the answers to most frequently asked questions. Lessen your anxiety and frustration and relax knowing you've got this. Go to birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding to learn more. And as a Birthful listener, you get 15% off if you use the code Birthful when you register. Go to birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding or click the link on the show notes to get you on your way. And we're back talking about sleep during pregnancy. So, Mar, what are some of the other ways that you can address getting better sleep during pregnancy? We kind of focus on the physical aspects and how nutrition ties into it, which is great. I'm glad we talked about that because I don't think it's something that people necessarily think about when they're considering better sleep, right? But what other things can expectant moms do to help them sleep better during pregnancy?
Sure. So I'll go into these are just general tips, but I think they're very helpful to at least get one started to investigate more. One of the key tips I give everyone is to evaluate their lifestyle, their health and family history. There's so many things that affect sleep, and it's interesting, you know, you had mentioned, yes, nutrition, absolutely a factor, and you know, even environment's a factor. There's all these biological, you know, biochemical changes happening, but there's no question that, you know, even genetically, a family member could have had a sleep issue, and that could have been passed on to us, or feelings or things, recollections come up from experiences when we were children during this time. So it's a really great time to just pay attention to that, to evaluate that, to work out any feelings, like I mentioned earlier. If you have overwhelming fears that are coming up, anger, anxieties, giving yourself permission to ask and receive support during this time, to work through them, to understand them is really, really important. You're giving yourself, not only are you giving yourself the greatest gift by doing that, but you're also then giving your child the greatest gift by doing that as well. Some other things is, you know, because I had mentioned earlier the stimulation with the light and a lot of the excessive lights that we have today, really inviting a transition into darkness is key. When I've worked with a lot of pregnant women, I have found that they go all day. And then when they are ready for bed, the lights go off and they expect themselves to fall asleep instantly. And in the same way that, just imagine the sun setting, how it takes time and there's like a transition, right? Like there's literally a transition. It's not like all of a sudden within a second, it goes from light to dark. Mm-hmm. In that similar transition that happens in nature, the same happens with ourselves. So when we allow ourselves, let's just say that normally we are going to go to bed at 10 p.m. at night, give yourself at least an hour minimum prior to that to start dimming the lights. A lot of smartphones these days have what's called a night shift feature. So when you put your phone or iPad, maybe even computer, on night shift, it's going to transition your screen from blue light, which is the light that we get throughout the day that stimulates, to more of an amber kind of light, which will then help your body transition and prepare for sleep. So shifting, you know, dimming your lights, shifting into a night shift at night. If possible, I know sometimes people living in cities and things like that can't avoid certain noises and things, but if possible, you know, making any kind of, if there's loud noises, TV, lowering volumes of things, working with music if you like music, you know, really setting an ambiance, like almost like a spa, you know, imagine like this amazing spa where you're like, oh, I'm just going to unwind. Maybe you want to take a bubble bath, things like that. Another tip is keeping a journal and pen handy by your bedside. There's nothing like allowing yourself to process. Sometimes when we wake up in the middle of the night and we have, you know, different thoughts, oh, I have to pay this bill. Oh, I got to do that. Oh, I got to cancel this, whatever it is. The ability to write it down, to it gives one the security that, okay, it's there, it's done. You get it out of your mind on paper. That's going to give one a better opportunity to go into a deeper rest. If you just hold it in your mind and you keep on replaying it over and over, that's going to be very challenging. There are apps, like I said, if that also happens and the journaling doesn't work for you, you could do a calm app. There's also what I love, which is called Yoga Nidra, which I can give you a resource link to as well, which is it's actually yogic sleep. And if you have a hard time napping or the calm app is not for you, Yoga Nidra, which can be done within 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour, I believe 1 hour of Yoga Nidra is equivalent to about 3 to 4 hours of sleep. That's how restful and restorative this practice is. So I would recommend that as well. Reducing any kind of EMFs. So, you know, if you have a lot of Wi-Fi, a lot of electronics plugged in, unplugging those. It's funny, sometimes people say to me when I ask them if they have their phone or smartphone by their bedside, and I say, you know, put it on airplane, they're like, why? And they kind of, you know, roll their eyes at me a little bit like, okay, you know, you'll sleep better. And I'm like, just try it, just experiment. And if it doesn't work, it's fine. But surprisingly, the amount of clients that I've had that works for is tremendous. Let's see, a few more other tips. Room temperature can absolutely affect, especially during pregnancy, with all these fluctuations and changes, being aware of your room temperature, usually between 68 to 72 degrees. But again, that's going to be slightly different from person to person, but finding a temperature that feels most comfortable for you, that you feel you can be more well rested in. Also, air quality is very important. When you're evaluating your bedroom environment, you want to ensure that you have enough, even if you don't have many windows, you still have, you know, clear air coming through. So you might keep your door open. You know, if there's any fragrances or candles or things that are stuffing up the room or dust, you know, those all can affect our ability to sleep as well. So I would look into the into that. Let's see. Oh, sunlight is very, very important. So, you know, when we wake up every day, the light sets our clock. It's the signal at which we start, you know, the day, and it's like, okay, we're up now. It's important on a daily basis, when possible, to get natural unfiltered sunlight, especially through your eyes and through your pineal gland. And of course, you don't want to stare at the sun at 12 in the afternoon, nothing like that. But it's more like first thing in the morning, you know, when you're up, whatever time that is, 6, 7, some people 8 a.m., allowing yourself to just get some sunlight, you know, 10, 15 minutes when possible is important. You'd be surprised how many people, especially during the wintertime, don't see sunlight for many days because they wake up before the sun rises and then they're at work and then the sun sets already.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you, like, in terms of that, if you live in a very cloudy city or you are affected by winter quite a bit, that you have to wake up before the sun is out and shining, if you can even see it. Would using some of the sad lights, the lights that recreate the sunlight, would that be a helpful practice as well?
Yes, those are. And what I would say, because it is important that people really evaluate what's appropriate for them, what I would also do is if you are in that situation, it wouldn't hurt to actually, you know, see a naturopath or someone who's a sleep coach or consultant that can actually provide you more information that can be more customized to your needs. Those light and those lights, you know, you can try them out, but sometimes what happens is, depending on many other factors, when you use them, how long you use them, we have to take all that into consideration. But there's no question that during that time, and when you're living, especially like in Alaska or those northern countries like Sweden, you know, you're going to have winters where it's darkness for a long, long time.
Yeah, and Rochester's pretty cloudy, so we've got that problem. Yeah. And I also know that it's a great recommendation to check in with a care provider to help you guide your needs, because it also depends on what the intensity of the bulb is, and so that'll determine how far the light needs to be from you to actually get the benefits. So it's not just like, go turn it on and walk around.
Exactly. Absolutely. There's no question about that. So let's see, any other considerations? You know, evaluating one's stress, if there's any relationship issues, sometimes, you know, during pregnancy, it does happen. Relationship issues may come up, and it's natural for us to want to avoid it. Say, oh, you know, after the baby's born, everything will be fixed. Because, you know, the baby will bring us closer together. If you are right, exactly. If you're in a situation where relationship issues are coming up, I would encourage you and empower you to seek the support you need. It's actually in the same way that you would be doing that for yourself with your own fears and emotions, working through any relationship issues with your significant other. This is a great time to do it during pregnancy, and you'd be surprised not only how much you can work through, but how much preparation, a strong preparation and foundation, that sets up for your child.
Yeah. And so
this process.
Absolutely. And one of the things I really like about your approach is like all these tips that you gave, they were extremely holistic. It takes into account your whole being and your, you know, physical psychology and so physiological, psychological and emotional and all your bodies, basically. And how that ties into your relationships and your family in order to just give you complete well-being that will then in turn also create better sleep, but which is the goal, right? You're focusing it that way. If you're setting up these structures to help you get better sleep and get better habits and sort of better sleep hygiene during pregnancy, how does that affect and correlate and benefit what will happen during postpartum, which is a period of so much sleep hardship when you're being woken up by your child on a constant basis?
Absolutely. It's such a great question. Oh my gosh. And we could talk so much about this. This is why I also love this work so much. You know, it's very interesting. A lot of my work, and thank you for mentioning the holistic and integrative part, because I think the more we expand and understand all of us together, ourselves, and just how we relate to ourselves and one another, we actually learn how much more we actually are connected, how things are much more connected than we think they are. And it's interesting because a lot of the work that I've been doing is also around parenting and the influence of and the challenges that parents experience between themselves and their children of all kinds. And interestingly enough, a parent's lifestyle, behavior, what they role model more than anything is pretty much one of the strongest influences of their child. And so quite often I've said, it's not children that need sleep training, it's the parents, because, you know, parents are on their smartphones, they're on their computer, they're stressed out, they're going through so much, and then they expect their babies to sleep. You know, it's like, I'm full of anxiety, I'm holding my child needs to get sleep, and my child needs to sleep. It's interesting because a lot of times we think that the solution is to fix is through the child, which, yes, that there's truth to that. But a lot of times the solution begins with ourselves. Mm. When we understand where our weakest link is, whether it's emotional, nutritional, whether it's lifestyle related, maybe we've gotten into a routine that's very disorganized and things are all over the place. And, you know, children, pregnancy and children bring out and show us, you know, what's working and what's not working. And when we realize that, we have an opportunity to go, whoa, my child in this situation is showing me areas of myself and my life that could use a lot of improvement. And so it goes hand in hand, right? Because what I always say is that when you're in a family, even if it's just one parent and a child, still a family, you're in a team. And it's important that everybody's needs are met. So it's not about, you know, the parent just leading the child or the child just leading the parent. It's about both learning to work cohesively together, everybody synchronizing, co-regulating, adapting to one another's ways, influencing one another. And so when during pregnancy and during the postpartum phase, when the more that we ground ourselves, the more we center ourselves, the more we get ourselves in order, we are navigators of our ship. And so we then have that ability to have the strength, the power to handle you know, all situations. And when our child is having any issues, the answers that at one time seemed to us very much out of this world and not connected to us actually become much more clear. And what I will tell you is that, very interestingly enough, there was this article a few months ago. I think Amazon has over 180,000 parenting guides out there. That's a lot. And part of what's happening is that parents are being bombarded with a lot of information, a lot of controversial information, and a lot of times they're second guessing themselves. While there is absolutely tremendous value in everything we're learning outside of ourselves, we all have what's called an intuition. And all of us really do know what's best in any given moment, in any given situation. And I think part of what's happened is that many of us have become disconnected from our own intuition because for many, many years we've been relying so much on the outer to give us direction instead of really going within and going, okay, what's happening here? What is this situation telling me? What is my child telling me? You know, where can we go from here? And then trusting that the answer is not only arising, but when you connect with that, then of course, I mean, like I do it all the time. I actually will connect with my intuition, but then I will also ask others. I'll say, you know, I was thinking this, what do you think? You know, and then I'll go back and I'll reflect, but I'll go back and forth. And so I think that, it's very, very important during pregnancy and during the especially early stages of parenting that parents are aware of their own lifestyle behavior, how that influences their child, and that they are what their role modeling is many times can make or break a situation for their child's sleep. And what I will tell you is there are many exceptions. If a child's experiencing a medical issue, if they're under the weather, developmental issue, you know, obviously those things within themselves, that's going to affect sleep. And that's not, you know, a parent will be aware of those things. But that obviously is not directly being influenced by a parent's behavior or lifestyle, right? So there's those examples. But the last thing that I will say to this is that question. Before making any assumptions to your child's sleep, one of the biggest mistakes I continue to see over and over again is that when there is a child sleep challenge, no matter at what stage, right away we seek the answers, we ask the question, we say, you know, my child needs help with sleep. Right away people give us answers without doing a full investigation. And it's very, very important because like I said earlier, the root of this child sleep challenge may be due to a number of things. It can be tied into a developmental issue, environmental issue, medical issue, emotional issue, you know, from the situation and so on and so on.
And I think that, like you were saying before regarding the nutrition, that, you know, these are general things that tend to be inflammatory, but for some people they are, for other people they aren't. Figure out what works for you, right? And analyze that and run it through your critical filters. I think the same thing can be applicable in terms of all the parenting, like all those guides that you talked about, or all the information we get out there, or even what we're sharing with listeners today of...
That's right.
You know, listen to what we say, but then take it and internalize it and run it through your critical filters and see if that fits with your reality and
Absolutely.
Test it out, right? And so the same thing, you need to really go deep, which is the hard work. It's the hard work trying to analyze. It's so much easier to take a sleep pill, but not as helpful. it's helpful in the short run, right? In the very, very short run. But it's so much more beneficial for you to really analyze your relationship with sleep and your habits and try to fix those. Because like you said, yeah, your kids are going to... Pregnancy starts bringing things out, and then when you have a child, everything bubbles to the surface. You think you were like out to find yourself and define who you were in your whatever 20s or your teenage years. Oh my gosh, nothing really brings you face to face with all your things like motherhood.
Ooh. Absolutely. There's no question. It's like an excavation. It's like all coming out. And I love how you frame that. You know, for me, it's what I say, it's where the growth is. It's where our human evolution lies. And so you can take the sleeping pill, and there's nothing against those either. You know, like again, like what you said, what works for you, because it may be a combination. Some of you may need that in combination with the excavation and the personal development. So what works for you, I always go by that experiment, try it out. But what's very interesting is that, again, we live in a culture where it's a quick fix. And the quick fix is an illusion, because no matter how much we think we're giving ourselves or our children a quick fix, there's always an underlying root to the situation. And if we don't excavate it, if we don't bring it to the surface, it is up. And we either have an option to avoid it and numb ourselves and keep avoiding it for the rest of our life, or we can see it as an opportunity to expand, to grow, to evolve. And yes, it's very challenging and difficult, but... when you go through that, the reward, and the evolution is so tremendous. And I personally feel it actually, what happens within ourselves contributes to humanity. So each time we bring more kindness into our life, we evolve in ourselves, that actually is contributing to the world's evolution. So the more every person, each of us can do our own inner work, that's contributing to the whole world. And we all know we need it. These days, you know.
Oh my goodness. And I love how a conversation about how to get better sleep in pregnancy turned out to improving the world.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Me too.
So if listeners want to get into contact with you, and I will take you up on all those links to put on the show notes, but if listeners want to know more of what you're up to, connect with you and follow what Mara Scategui is up to, how can they do that?
Thank you. You can just go to my website's just my name. It's Mar, and then you can Mar Oscategui. I know it's you hear it. You're like, how do you spell that? MarOscategui.com, and I'm sure you'll put a link under the podcast as well. And yeah, you can just find out more about me and what I'm up to and the variety of different things that I'm doing.
Fabulous. And for the listeners who are on their commute and not able to actually look at the show notes and maybe just listening, downloading it through their subscription there, can you spell your last name? So in case they want to just do it that way.
Sure. I'll just spell the whole website. Thank you, Adriana. It's MarOscategui.com.
Beautiful. And I definitely will link it. Thank you so, so much for having this talk with me today. It always is lovely to converse with you. It fills my soul.
Oh, me too. My tremendous pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for what you're doing and offering to everybody. You're such a wonderful resource. And I'm so happy that you're doing what you're doing.
Aw, you too. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Mighty ones, find the in-depth show notes for this episode at birthful.com, where you can also learn more about me, the show, send me messages, and more. And if you want access to ad-free episodes and the extra audio content for this and all the episodes, then come join us over at patreon.com/birthful to become an official Birthful supporter. Check it out at patreon.com/birthful. Now, if what you want to do is get ready for life with a newborn, then go to birthfulcourses.com and sign up for my Thrive with Your Newborn online postpartum preparation classes. Do it now before baby arrives. This episode was produced by me and made possible by you, the amazing Birthful patrons, and by the wonderful people at Vistaprint and Simply Breastfeeding. To get free shipping on all your business cards, any style, any quantity, go to vistaprint.com and enter the promo code Birthful. It's a limited time offer. And go to birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding and use the code BIRTHFUL for 15% off their breastfeeding course. The title song for this podcast is Vive Ace by Kevin McLeod, and the sponsorship song is Air Hockey Saloon by Chris Zabriskie. Find them both at freemusicarchive.org. Also, the Birthful podcast is part of the Parents on Demand Network, a network of podcasts focused on parents. Download the free Parents on Demand app on Apple and Android for easy on-the-go listening. Now, I have no idea what Mar had for breakfast since we recorded this way before I started asking people about it, but I dare to imagine that it was something energizing like fresh pressed juice or a chia bowl. I'm Adriana Lozada. Please join me next week when I'll be talking to another maternity pro to inform your intuition here at the Birthful Podcast. Thanks so very much for listening. This episode is copyright 2019 by Adriana Lozada.